Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Please come to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 17 in a moment. But in Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 24, you will find your assignment. And I've entitled this message, Discovering Your Priceless Treasure in Christ, Deleting Your Old Man. Now that sounds like you're about to get rid of a bad husband, or maybe deleting a bad dad. Let me clarify the instructions, because I'm referring to the battle that each one of us has with our old sinful nature. Now, it's very important to get instructions right, because if you misunderstand instructions, generally there's a problem. For instance, I heard about this fella. He was a wealthy man. He had a big house. He was working in the front yard when a fella wandered up and said, "Sir, I need some work. Would you consider giving me some work?" And this man said, "Well, sure. You know what I need? I need somebody to paint my front shutters here, and then in the back, I need you to paint the porch." We got a gallon of white paint, decided to go in and watch the football game. Just a little bit, he heard a knock on the door. The fellow was finished. He couldn't believe it. He was so quick. So the man said, "Well, did you get the job done?" He said, "Yes, sir, I sure did." He said, "Did you paint the shutters here in the front?" He said, "Yes, sir." "Did you paint the porch in the back?" He said, "Yes, sir, but it wasn't a porch, it was a BMW. See, if you misunderstand the instructions, it causes a lot of hurt, waste, heartache. So let's get the instructions right. Would you just write it down? Here it is. God calls us to be like Jesus and be holy, to live lives of purity, righteousness, holiness. This is the call of God, and that starts when we consciously delete and defeat our old sin nature. Now, friends, I want you to dial into this message, because if you receive this information and you implement it, it can have a vast impact on how the rest of your spiritual journey unfolds. So come with me now to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's begin in verse 17. "This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness in truth." Let's ask God's help. Father, oh, we come very intentionally and humbly before you, and we ask that you help us, because we acknowledge the battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lord, we want to win and share your victory, and I pray that you would today teach us. Get me out of the way, Lord, that your spirit might take your living truth and apply it to the receptive hearts of your children. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here's the great truth, friends. Even when you come to Jesus Christ and you sincerely claim Him as your Lord and Savior, you can still struggle against sin. Right? Amen? I mean, has anybody here not sinned in the last week? Would you raise your hand and we'll switch places and you can come and tell us how you did that? You see, friend, we are in a battle and we've got to defeat the enemy. And there are several enemies that are waging war against your being a Christ-like person. And I want to give you some ammunition. I want to give you some very important information about how you can share the victory of Jesus Christ by deleting that old sinful nature and find victory so you're no longer pulled away from disobeying your Heavenly Father. It's a threefold process, and I want to hammer it into our hearts today. Let's begin with number one, recognize your sinful nature. Recognize it. That's the first step. You see, when you come to Jesus Christ, there's a heavenly transaction that occurs. When you acknowledge that you are a sinner and He is your Savior, and you humbly give yourself to Him, He does something for you that you cannot do for yourself. He cancels your sin debt. And He brings you into His family. That's a heavenly transaction. He not only cancels your past sin, He cancels your future sin. It's a done deal, paid in full. That's good news, isn't it? So it's not a halfway salvation. You don't earn it. It's just a gift. That's what God has done for you. And yet, remember this, there are hellish and devilish forces that are at work, and they try to blunt the effectiveness of your faith. For instance, look on your worksheet. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is coming." You see, really, it's more of a process. The verb tense are the old is passing away. Now, the debt has been paid, but we are still in a fight, aren't we? We're still in a tug of war. I heard a wise pastor say it like this: when you come to Christ, you get out of hell in a second, but it takes the lifetime to get the hell out of you. That's how it really works. You see, there's this cleansing process. That's why it's called sanctification. And the word sanctification, like sanitizing your laundry, is this process of cleansing. Yes, your salvation is a once and forever done, completed deal, but you begin to process your sanctification, your growing in Christ, because there are still temptations around you. Let me illustrate it. In Matthew 16, Peter is asked by Jesus, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter gets it right. He says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "Peter, you're right. And upon the rock of your confession, I will build my church." But Peter then says, when Jesus suggests that he will soon be crucified, Peter says, no, you won't. And by verse 23 of Matthew 16, listen to what Jesus says to Peter. He says, "Satan, get behind me," talking to Peter. So in one moment, Peter gets it right. And in the next moment, he's gone wrong. Have you ever been there? I have. We all have. That's why this message is so important. You begin by recognizing that you are in a battle. And you are in a battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. You see, the world is your external enemy. The flesh is your internal enemy. And the devil is your infernal enemy. And they are all three very real, and they are pulling against you. Now, let me further illustrate that with the life of Paul. We would all acknowledge that Paul was a super saint. And yet, look again to your worksheet, Romans 7, verse 15. Listen to Paul's proclamation. "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." We've all been in this category, friends. Paul goes on to say, "O wretched man that I am, who will save me from this wretched flesh?" You see, that's the tug of war of the Christian life. Paul is acknowledging that there is this pull in him to temptation, to stepping out of bounds. It's important that you recognize that there is a battle going on. Look at verse 22. You see, here is the essence of what we're acknowledging here. In reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. These things are at work. So recognize them. Do battle with them. By number two, refusing your sinful nature. Go to number two. Refuse your sinful nature. And I really appreciate how the Lord puts it here. Lay it aside. Lay aside that old self. Refuse it. Resist it, because your sinful nature will pull you away from the things of God, will pull you away into hurtful attitudes, actions, reactions, and relationships. That old sinful nature will pull you back to an old vocabulary, to an old set of habits, to old friends, to old places. And these things will pull you away from the peace and purpose and power of God. Now, here's how it works. The scripture says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, that we are to flee from sin. Not flirt with it. Flee from it. See, a lot of people flirt with sin. But here's what I've learned. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. That's the nature of sin. Sin is very deceptive in its lust. Max Lucado has a fabulous story. He recounts what some people saw at Niagara Falls one cold winter's day. The great Niagara River runs over to the falls, and there were some huge ice blocks that were floating down the river toward the falls. This majestic eagle was circling and spied a rodent down on one of the ice blocks. So the eagle came swooping down. He saw the rodent was trapped on the ice block, and he swooped in and he grabbed the little rodent, and with its talons, he killed it. Well, he was so engrossed in the chase and now in his meal that he seemed to be oblivious to the approaching fact that the ice block was nearing the precipice of the Great Falls. People were watching this beautiful eagle, and it was engrossed in eating this rodent. And it was as if, as the eagle saw that this ice block was near the edge of the falls, it was as if the eagle was saying, "Don't worry, I got it. I can handle this. I'm in control. I'm an eagle. I'm a bird of prey." And just as the ice block was about to go over the falls, the eagle spread its great wings to fly and did not realize its talons had now become encased and frozen into the ice. And he plunged over the edge. Friend, I'm telling you, be careful. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. So you don't flirt with sin. What do? Like Timothy, you flee from it. You resist it. You refuse it. There was a famous and classic story about a missionary in the Wild West. This missionary had seen a chief come to know Christ. He was continuing his mission work, and he came back almost a year later, and he asked his new brother in Christ, "How are you doing? Are you growing in the Lord?" And the chief said, "Yes, but here's what I've discovered, my brother." And he pointed to a couple of old dogs. He said, "I've discovered that inside of my spirit there are two dogs. There's the spirit of Jesus. He is a good dog, and he leads me to do good things. But there's an old, ugly dog, and he is always at war with the good dog." And the missionary said, "Well, tell me, who's winning in this fight?" He thought for a moment and he said, "The dog I feed the most is winning." That's how it is, friends. You see, you can starve a old ugly habit and your sin nature, or you can feed it. You see, if you struggle with pornography, if you struggle with impure, lustful thoughts, don't feed it, starve it. You starve it when you refuse to watch those videos, when you refuse to watch those programs, you refuse to go to those places, starve it. If you're struggling with alcohol, the most dangerous drug in the world, because it's so accessible, it's so deceptive. If you're struggling with it, starve it. Cut it off. Stay away. Don't flirt with it. Flee from it. And then feed God's nature. How do you feed it? You feed it with His Word, His people, doing His work, knowing His will, being His witness. You feed God's work in your life. And then let's go to number three. Oh, this is so important. I don't want you to miss it. You see, after you recognize your sinful nature, then you refuse it and you replace it, replace your sinful nature. Now, here's how it works. As an act of your will, you replace it. Look at verse 24. Put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness in the truth. Put on, it's like a garment. Now, as I survey this congregation, I would dare say that there's not one of you here in your pajamas. No? All of you look very, very nicely dressed, and I highly doubt that you slept in your clothes. No, I would imagine that you got up this morning, you had on some night gear, and you made a decision, an act of your will. I will change out of my pajamas, my night gear, and I will put on my Sunday go-to-meeting gear. You made a decision, didn't you? To put off one thing and to put on another. And that is the picture in verse 24. You see, you replace that old nature. You replace it with a new nature, with a robe of righteousness. You put it on. That's a decision. I heard a funny story about a guy who wrote an anonymous letter to the Internal Revenue Service. The letter said, "Dear friends at the IRS, enclosed you will find a check for $1,000. I cheated on my taxes last year and I cannot sleep. If I still have trouble sleeping, I'll send you the rest of the money." You know what that's called? Half repentance. Doing things on your terms. And yet that's how we operate. We think we can satisfy God with just giving Him a little bit. No, He wants to replace our sinful nature with His new robe of righteousness. Again, focus on verse 23 and verse 24. And it begins here that you have a renewed spirit in your mind. All right, so mark this down. We're going to replace it with new thought processes. With new thought processes. Here's how it works. A new thought process. You see, friends, here's the key component. We learn in Proverbs 23, verse 7, that as you think in your mind, so you are. You see, the real battle is in the 5-inch space between your ears. It's your mind. And you got to win the battle for your mind. As you think in your heart, so you are, so you become. Now, let me acknowledge a great truth. We all have conversations with ourselves, don't we? We all are talking with ourselves constantly. And we hear voices, and some of them are very negative voices. And they speak negative things about who we are and negative projections of our future. And you can listen to that negative, evil, ugly voice of deception and destruction. As a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes. So there's a battle right now going on right now for your mind. So look on your worksheet. 2 Corinthians 10 puts it like this. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And here it is, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You see, that's where the battle is. You've got to take captive your thought processes. My friend, it works like this for me. I envision my mind as an air traffic control tower. You know, if you go out to Danley Field, there is an air traffic control tower that determines who can land. Now, there are a lot of airplanes flying in Alabama. At any given time, there would be hundreds of airplanes in the air, but they all can't land unless they get permission from the tower. So my mind is an air traffic control tower. Now, I'll confess, I have a lot of weird things that fly through my mind. And you do too. You're probably weirder than I, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking, but you don't know what I'm thinking either, do you? You see, that's how it works. So I get to control, though, who lands. Martin Luther hit it on the head. He said, you cannot control the birds of lust that fly over your head, but don't invite them to make a nest in your hair. Don't fill your thought world, your fantasy life, with ugly, impure things that pull you away from the Lord. But instead, control it. It's like an air traffic control tower. No, you can't land. And you, what do? You see, you recognize it, you refuse it, you replace it. Replace it with what? Well, write down Philippians 4:8. Whatever is pure, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is worthy of praise, think on these things. Replace it with the thoughts of Jesus, with His Word, with His wisdom. That's what God is calling you to do. Actively battle. Replace it. And then secondly, not only with new thought processes, but with new actions. Make that last note, with new actions. You see, information then becomes implementation, because as you think in your mind, so you become. You see, your beliefs lead to your behaviors. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7 when He completed the Sermon on the Mount, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. So this is the call of God. Take this spiritual information and put it into play. Make it implemented. All right, now here are the three R's. Are you with me? Recognize, refuse, replace. Let's say it. Recognize, refuse, replace. One more time. Recognize, refuse, replace. All right, I've got a little story I've made up for you just to pull this all together. This is not true. This is totally make-believe. But I want to hammer home the point. Now, imagine that this is make-believe, that I got a letter this week. And this letter was from my good friend here at First Baptist named Seymour Kabotny. And Seymour wrote me one of these really weird, hate-filled letters. And it basically said, Dear Jay, you are a sorry, no good preacher. Well, you can make a case for that. But then he really stepped out of bounds. Seymour said, And what's more, your wife, Mary Ruth, she's a sorry, no good Sunday school teacher and GA leader. And what's more, you got four sorry, no good children, and you really have some rotten grandkids. Wow, that would hurt my feelings if I got a letter. I didn't get that letter, by the way. Now, let's just imagine that here we are. We came to church, and there is Seymour. He's just sitting right over there in this section. So I get up to do the welcome. Now, I'm just like y'all. I have a multi-channel mind, and so do you. So I'm welcoming everybody to the service, and I see Seymour sitting right out there just smiling. Well, I'm not thinking happy thoughts about Seymour whatsoever. As a matter of fact, my sinful nature starts to rise up, and I'm thinking hostile thoughts about Seymour. Matter of fact, I'm thinking that I'm going to say, hey, Chip, let's go whip Seymour, you know? Let's just go whip him right now. Let's just, a little church discipline right on the side of the head. I'm thinking that. Now, I'm not going to do it because that would really ruin the beginning of the service. I just think that would wipe out the call to worship. So what would we do here? Okay, I recognize I'm in a battle. I've got a holy calling. I've coming to preach God's word. I recognize the battle. I refuse those very negative thoughts because, see, I would be thinking this about Seymour. I would be thinking, Lord, may all of his toenails be ingrown. May the fleas of 1,000 camels infest his armpits. I mean, I would be thinking really negative biblical things, though. That's kind of biblically oriented. And yet I would refuse that. And what would I do? I would replace it. I would try to pray Ephesians 4:32, and I've done this many a time. Because I have come to worship services where I see people who are out of bounds. Or maybe they've said or done hurtful things. And so you pray Ephesians 4:32. You see, you pray the other way. You replace it. You say, oh, Lord, I lift up Seymour to you. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? As Christ has forgiven me, so I extend to him grace. Do you get it? Well, if you do, then you will win the battle with temptation by deleting and defeating the old person. Let's pray. Oh, Father. Father, I thank you so much that you have called us out of darkness and death and sin, and you've invited us to follow you in your light. Lord, even now, keep teaching us how to delete the old person of sin and put on that robe of righteousness. Lord, right now we invite your Spirit to speak, and we promise not only to hear, but to obey. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.